When we'd gone another few miles down the highway, we paused for a drink. In a nearby field was a water tower with a cartoon yellow jacket holding his own stinger like an angry penis. She thought that was hilarious. I realized that I'd gotten her a boy's bike when she kept grabbing the top tube and growling like the cartoon wasp. "Is this what it's like to be a guy? You just point your dick at everything?" "Pretty much." It was a bright, clear day. We rode casually and joked for a while. At our next break, I had her pull out the radio and listen for the message again. She cranked the charger and turned it on. It was the same woman, but her tone was different. A new recording.
"This is the USS Fort Worth at Coast Guard Station Galveston. We have room for 38 survivors. We will update the count as we accept new passengers. Message repeats."
I felt my heart skip. We had 250 miles to go. Would we make it in time? What choice did we have? We weren't going back. We came to a sign, hand-painted, white text on a red background. "Love one another. It's your time to get right with God." There was a pond, long and narrow, what a farmer would call a tank, that ran parallel to the highway. The water was dark green and filled with lily pads that floated in the shade of the black gum trees, which had turned orange and purple in the cooling weather. We coasted and looked around. There was a shrine of glossy wood with a hexagonal roof. Inside, Mother Mary stood on a table, seeming to float in her flowing blue and white robes, looking down on the world, palms out. All around her feet, held in black iron rings, were vases of dead flowers. We put down our kickstands and approached the shrine. Thumbtacked to the wall were notes to loved ones, photographs of children, and a placard written in the same hand as the road sign. "Holy Mary thanks you. Holy Mary prays for you. Holy Mary came for everyone on November 19th, 2034. There was a large white binder with a fat pen resting on top. The paper within bled through with blue and black ink that had been soaked in the rain 100 times. A ceramic cherub stood at her left. Jar candles, the Virgin of Guadalupe, San Judas Tadeo, and the Sacred Heart were arranged on the table. We're not Catholic, but it felt like a special place. Its silence spoke to us more than any crazy Protestant preacher's sermon. I felt my wallet grow heavy in my pocket and fished it out. I still had $120 in it, my driver's license, my social security card, and pictures of us when we were 4 and not 2. I set the wallet, open like a book, at Mary's feet. I spread out the photos of us and knelt and cried. Sophie put her hand on my shoulder and cried too. I stood and left, and she dug through her pack and got a lighter and lit the jar candle for St. Jude and prayed for a while. The saint for desperate cases and lost causes. Not sure which we were. Maybe both. Maybe the only difference is how far you are down the road. We went a ways further south on 45. She yelled to me, a mile or two south of the shrine. "What if we get there and they're gone?" "We'll fish," I yelled back, and that seemed to be fine with her. We saw things on the road I didn't understand. Large square tanks with pipes sticking out that said inlet or outlet. Why were they square? There were vast panels of concrete, like God's Legos, set in perfect rows on a sandy lot. So much of what made the world work had been background noise to me. Now, on a bike, it could not be ignored. What would people think of this place 1,000 years from now if I, a man of this time and place, could not explain it? I watched her pedal and look around and noticed that her riding had gotten stronger. She didn't pause as often or drink as much from the jugs. She'd had a full gallon on day 1. Day 2, she'd only drunk half that.
We had plenty of nuts to last, and with this reduced drinking rate, our water would be fine, at least till we got to the coast. Midday, we saw a mountain lion, emaciated, chewing on a dog long dead. It watched us coming, then watched us pass, too tired to flee us or hunt us. We looked at each other, each the apex predator of our place in the old world, and saluted. Her with a honey-eyed cat's blink, me with a bandaged hand, strips of white tape clinging to dirty fingers. It was the first animal I'd seen since leaving Frisco. I looked at my odometer. We'd traveled 75 miles. I'd seen two people and one skinny mountain lion. I found myself touching my canine teeth with my tongue and finding the very thought of tree nuts bitter in my mouth. The map showed a lake near our next stop. Well, not a true lake, Texas has none, but the Richland Chambers Reservoir, a flooded valley 1 mile east of the interstate. All the fish in our suburban ponds up north had been fished out, but that didn't mean the big lakes were lifeless. I thought it was worth the side trip, just for the chance to taste meat again. Crappie, striped bass, grass carp, hell, even catfish sounded good, and I had no oil or flour to make the slippery monsters palatable. Maybe we'd get lucky and find some herbs. The year had been mostly hot and dry, bad for us, good for sage and mint and dill. We found another tire repair shop not too far off the interstate and set up camp for the night. I like tire shops. They're not places people think to raid after the gasoline ran out. The only biodiesel rigs I'd seen since Starfall were in the suburbs, and so far, they seemed to be staying there. The open road was too costly on fuel, unless you knew there was more awaiting you on the other end of your trip, and you were too likely to be stranded if you have a problem on the open road. The raider trucks seemed to stick to their territories, small circles on the map, near reliable sources of liquid fat, like clusters of old restaurants and animal rendering plants. Tire shops are quiet. The oil-soaked concrete keeps most of the plants out. The cinderblock walls and tin roofs don't rot, so there's no mold to breathe. It's hard to walk across gravel and uneven concrete without making noise. People tend to shuffle and stagger step while looking around. And if we have to take off on our bikes, the concrete gives us a good launching pad. We've done 96 of our 300 miles to Galveston. One scare, but no major injuries. No mechanical failures. We have a safe place to sleep. Good enough. Tuesday, December 1st, 2037, Richland, Texas.